Oh, hello.
All right, let's do this one last time.
Warning. Marvin and RMD contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended.
As I told you a long time ago.
Go fuck yourself.
I got invitations right here. Enough for everybody.
Are you ready?
I was born ready, motherfucker.
You Spider-Man, given a job to do.
I played the long game, Mr. Castle.
That's my secret, Captain.
On the roof!
So many snacks, so many little time. We're in the endgame now.
He looks like an asshole.
He's a criminal, that's who he is.
I am.
Well, that's just as fascinating as the first 89 times you told me that.
Bullseye.
What is up, everybody? It's time once again for Marvel on RMD, the Moon Knight edition. However you have found us, please rate, review, subscribe. It helps us out a ton because some reason PR companies like reviews better than they like actual listener count. So go do that for us. I am your host, the one and only Bobby D. And with me in the studio is David.
How's it going?
And me and David's love child, Greg.
Hi, guys. So wait on that, those back birthday gifts and Christmas gifts.
Dad. Yeah, I walk into the studio today and he's expecting me to come with like a whole bushel of gifts and like...
Yeah, you lying piece of shit.
Like just disappointing him all over again.
Yeah. The last thing I remember, I'm going to get you a Happy Meal, son. Nothing.
Yeah. Bobby's the dad in this relationship.
I got a sadness meal. That's what I fucking got.
Yeah, well, bottom line, daddy's home and we're here to do a show.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, man.
So this week we'll be breaking down the second episode of Moon Knight, Summon the Suit. And before we get to that, let's talk about last week a little bit. What do you guys think the numbers were? Like, how would we...
This is going to be interesting.
Guesstimate. I don't know. Have you guys looked at all?
I have not looked. Okay. I've been curious because me and you, every time we cover a Marvel show, this is one of those things that is really important.
Yeah. So where, out of all the shows, where do we think viewership was? What they consider viewership is basically the weekend. So the way Disney Plus has been measuring these things, if it releases on a Wednesday, you have Wednesday to Sunday.
Okay. Let's see. What was the... I'm trying to actually gauge it by how much the last... what was the one that we covered, Bobby, with... I think the last one we covered
Falcon and Winter Soldier.
What was the number on that one?
It's above that one. Let me tell you, that one was 1.5.
Okay. I'm going to say, well, since you said it's above that,
I kind of gave that away. Sorry.
I'm going to say it's not that far. So I'm going to say it's probably about a 2.
Okay. Greg,
I'm going to say 2.5.
Okay. 2.5 is the highest show. And that was Loki. This one was 1.8 million households in that time frame.
Really?
It's up 20% from basically the last show, which was Hawkeye, which was at the 1.5 million. Also, sorry, I was misquoted there. Falcon and Winter Soldier was also 1.8 million. So Falcon and Winter Soldier and Moon Knight drew in the same audience, which I honestly find very, very impressive based on the fact that this has nothing to do with the MCU.
Yes. I'm really impressed with it. But that makes me really excited, too, because that means that the audience is open for something different. Yeah. Because, like, especially after this episode, they're really showing a side of the MCU that no one's seen. I'm sorry. Like, some of the mythos that they're covering here, nobody pretty much touches this. Yeah. I mean, the closest one you probably get is Doctor Strange. But even then, what we saw in this episode... I think actually is far different from the magic we see in Doctor Strange.
But this episode, and I even think me and Bobby said this when Bobby got into the studio, we even said that they should have dropped this episode last week.
Absolutely. No, I 100% agree with you guys.
And because this week it brought everything together, it gave more meat to the story. Mm-hmm. For maybe those last week who were like, I'm a little lost.
Yes.
That now you understand, don't want to say everything, but now you understand why things are happening.
You got the rough outline of what the fuck's going on.
Yeah,
that's what I was curious to find out, Bobby, is with this episode, are you less confused?
Yeah, 100%, because you gave me the background of the voice, the hero, the villain. I have a better understanding of what they're trying to do,
yes,
what is going on. It is not just a bunch of like flash cut scenes like we got last week.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like Greg said, we talked about it a little bit, and it totally helps out with trying to make sense of what's going on. So I definitely feel like I understand what is going on in Moon Knight so much better than I did last week. And, you know, I was kind of like cruising around the internet looking to see what people were thinking. And a lot of people were in that same kind of mindset of, man, I, you know, the whole, like, I wish Disney would, you know, release them all so I could binge watch, and, you know, type of scenario, because I think a lot of people were kind of looking for what is that next episode going to be like. So,
well, and I think a lot of people, because it's this isn't a character that a lot of people know. And so, because everybody knows kind of the big Marvel characters, they're going to, you know, they know who the X-Men are. They know who the Avengers are. They know this character, that character. But Moon Knight, like even last week, we said, is one of those lesser known characters. And I would say he's in the same realm as Blade, is that if you never read any of them outside of, if you didn't read any Marvel books outside of the major ones, then you're not going to know who these characters are.
Oh, no, absolutely.
And even, you know, with the Eternals, it's kind of the same thing. Like nobody, like every people who knew Kit Harington's character was the Black Knight. Read the comics or, you know, at least had some introduction to him through the comic books. But outside of that, you're like,
who are these guys?
Why is he, you know, what at the end, when you're like, well, why is this sword so special, or what is this a big deal for? And that's kind of how this, you know, this series, this character, I feel is.
I think even more so than even Eternals, because at least with the Eternals, they have that comic book history.
Yeah.
And everything. And even the Black Knight comic book history. Moon Knight, as much as I love Moon Knight is, I would even go as far as saying he's like the D-list.
Well,
he's
the D-list. But what I'm saying more in general of whether, like, if you read the comics, if you ventured outside the major Marvel characters,
yeah,
then you wouldn't have known about this.
You would have known about this.
But the second episode, though, it starts off and you get into it, and then it's like, okay, now everything's coming through. You get introduced to Layla. You get a little bit of her, like, their history. You get that split of Steven and Mark. And Steven, like, no, I don't want this anymore. I want my life. And then Mark's like, no, you don't understand. You don't have a choice in this.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that duality of those two essentially personalities had a more prominent role in this episode. And you got to see more of those characters.
Yeah. You get to see more of the personalities of them. And, like, I like the fact that now it makes much more sense about, you know, Steven's, you know, we were making fun of the first episode, that terrible British accent. Well, it makes sense.
Yeah. Now
I like how she called it, you could drop the stupid accent.
You could stop the stupid accent. And it's like, because it's something that Mark created
as a safety. But also what I like too is that Steven's trying to explain, like, no, I'm not Mark. Mark is here, but I'm not him. But he doesn't know how to explain that, where he's like, I'm going to sound crazy. And then when I was watching the episode, I finished watching it at home and I got off of work. And the moment the two cops showed up, like, that fat fucking cunt of a cop that just kicked in the door, fuck that guy. Like, I hope I fucking hope diabetes takes every limb you fucking got, buddy. Like,
you wanted Conchu to show up and rip him to pieces, didn't you?
Well, just like, they just barge in and they're like, what's all this? And it's like, he's like, the female cop's like, like, bitch, fuck you.
Well, the cool part about that was, I was trying to figure out, are these guys for real cops? And then I love the twist where all of a sudden you get to it and all of a sudden you go, oh, they're not even police officers. So it's actually, I was like, okay, that's why they're dicks.
Well, yeah. And it's just like, it's like the big fat fucker. What are you trying to be, fucking Harvey Bullock from Batman?
From Batman.
Fuck you, buddy.
Of course. And when I was reading this week, because again, a lot of people just assume that, it's always been told that Moon Knight is Marvel's Batman. And then they were all, that's why they've made him poor. Because I was wondering that same thing and I just didn't bring it up because I'm like, Bruce Wayne's rich. It sounds like in the comics there is some wealth behind this character that they just haven't introduced yet.
Yeah, they haven't introduced the other personality yet. And that's the weirdest part, because I left this episode thinking, I wonder if they're just going to keep it to Steven and Mark. Because, like, they're really pushing the fact about, like, what Greg alluded to, the duality of everything. The whole story revolves around the conflict between those two.
So, and again, this is stuff that I don't know, and so I want you guys to look for this going forward. When you watch the opening credits of the scene, they do show a moon, and I keep wondering if that's going to phase through, because you guys have told me that the different phases of the moon bring out different versions of the character.
Yes.
And so I was watching for keys and like subtle things like that this week that I didn't know before. It's kind of like why I like doing shows sometimes. You guys actually learn me stuff.
Well, there was a lot of moments when I was like going, I think there's more personalities, especially in the, I don't know if you guys caught it when he's running around in the storage facility away from Khonshu and the doors start just rattling and they're all locked. And I kept thinking, I wonder if that's an allusion to like the many personalities that is within Mark.
I think that it could, but it's one of those things like only time will tell. But what I did like, one thing I did like was with Mark. Mark has the classic Moon Knight suit. But then what I liked when Steven was falling and then he lands and Mr. Knight, I was like, yes.
I was so shocked as a fan. I'm like, this is how you introduce him.
But what I like is that he gets up and Mark's like, what's up? Like, what the fuck are we wearing? And he's like, I don't know. Look kind of good, don't I? Like, ooh.
Yeah.
But I like that. That's kind of like him like getting a little confidence.
And being a little different.
Than him. And then he's like, oh, what are these stick things? And I'm like, oh man, if he fucking does a screamer and like fucks somebody up, I will lose my shit.
And I think that's always those perfect moments that they kind of need to put into these TV shows that fans like you guys can look at that and fucking nerd out. And people like me are going, all right, that's a cool looking suit.
Yes.
You know, but not really know like the meaning behind it or what the hell's going on. You're just like, all right, this is a different version of it.
Well, I really honestly thought, in the last episode I mentioned about it was like, I wondered if they were going to do it's going to be four personalities, but they've only shown two at this point. And I was expecting a fourth personality to show up in Mr. Knight. I wasn't expecting Steven to be Mr. Knight.
But what I think with this series is not only like they're going to introduce this character to new fans, Bobby, obviously, in that realm, but then also do stuff for you and I who have read the book.
Exactly. Because they did a lot of changes to the character in this to make it their own.
But I think it also makes it easier for people to grasp than going full blown like, hey, he's got a shit ton of personalities. Because then everybody's going to be like, well, who the fuck am I watching now? Like, who is he now? What the fuck? Like, do they just pop in and out? Is this like,
how do we transition from one to the next? And
it's like the movie. It's like the Unbreakable movies.
Yes.
You know, where it's got whatever the beast.
Yeah. The split.
Split or whatever it was. And he just like, Steven's coming. He's got to be very upset. And it's like, what the fuck? And then you have like, then he's like a woman.
And then he's a man. And essentially that's what I was expecting out of Moon Knight was the split where you have the personalities come out. And then I was excited about that to see Oscar Isaacs actually try to do that. And now I understand that maybe they're not going to go that far, that we're going to be stuck with Mark and Steven.
But I think that's smart, though, for a new series, especially on a character that's not
very well known.
You don't want to overwhelm anybody.
Like, you could bring in a third, and you could bring that in and kind of tell a little bit of it.
And I think they are still going to bring a third because they keep alluding to the fact that he goes by another name in Scott. And remember, Steven keeps correcting him, saying, "No, my name is Scott, or my name is Steven."
Yeah. So there's either going to be a third personality introduced, you know, at some point in the next four episodes, or at the end of the series, they're going to introduce another personality, which then can lead into, you know, hopefully a season two. I feel like they're going to do unless Oscar Isaac does something to it, like, ooh, we got to back him away from this guy. But I don't think
which could happen in today's world.
Hopefully not. I mean,
he could have done it 10 years ago. We just haven't found out yet.
And that's a dumb thing. It's like, oh, if you did this 10 years ago, we're not going to use you anymore. It's like, what the fuck? Like, what? Sweet. You guys said something great. And then, like, people are like, oh, I found this from 15 years ago.
Well, okay. So
he jokingly called his brother a slur for homosexuals. This was 20 years ago, but he shouldn't be acting anymore. So, he needs to be gone.
So check this out. This is just a random transition here. But during episode one, there was like a little like QC code on the wall of the museum. And if you scan that, you got to go to Werewolf by Night on Marvel Unlimited. Now, I was just scrolling through it in the first page or right after the cover. They put in a page that is... this is previously published content that includes negative deceptions of people of cultures. These stereotypes were wrong then and are wrong, wrong now.
Yeah.
Social change is a journey we must acknowledge where we've come from and build a more inclusive future. Because, I was like, what the fuck is in this comic?
Oh, no, Werewolf by Night, dude. Yeah. That comic, it makes fun of like it makes fun of the racial stereotypes of black people. That was the big thing.
I just thought it was like, okay, now I'm scrolling through it. I can just see like,
which is funny because I think even then that was still under the comics code and that they still got the stamp of approval for that. So you're just like, comics code, if you insult people of other races, fine. You want to put drugs in there? Ooh, no, that's
I think the cool thing about this episode too, just as a comic book fan, was actually the QR codes themselves, because there'd be QR codes scattered throughout the entire thing. And I didn't realize until after I viewed it the second time and I was told to scan it and it brings you to like various issues of like Moon Knight.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like going, that's freaking genius, because it's essentially it's kind of like, remember the, in comics, Greg, where they basically say they have the little blurb on the pop.
Yeah.
If you want to see more, see issue number 69 of Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Do you want to find out what happens to the X-Men? Well, check out Wolverine number 72.
Well, the funny thing is, that was one of the things when the DC app was active that I actually thought was the smartest thing they did, was you could get done if you're like watching on your phone or whatever, or you could go back and look on your phone and be like, if you like this episode, this is the source material to go back to.
Yeah.
Because like when we were covering Swamp Thing, it had the whole fucking run like underneath every episode to kind of get people into this. So if Marvel's doing it, it's a smart play.
Yeah.
But the fact is, like, I didn't know until I was looking for, you know, news articles that this shit was happening, because you just don't assume that, like, you know, let me hold my phone up and scan everything.
That was the interesting part, that they decided to do that as kind of like a hidden, I guess you could call them Easter egg type thing.
Yeah.
But I think, but again, and that is smart. And it's going to, and one person will find out and then they spread it and everybody's like, oh shit, that's right. Oh shit, that's right. And then everybody starts doing it.
And it forces people to rewatch it.
Yeah. You know, people like David that watch it 17 times in a day, how you do that and get everything else done.
I was able to do it twice.
Yeah. Oof.
Yeah. So one of the other major questions that always comes up, and we saw it during the fight scene, the actual answer during the fight scene this week, is when does this actually take place in the MCU? Because we seem to jump timelines all over. And I don't know how you guys are, but with my friends, I get asked all the time, like, how should I watch it? Should I watch it in order of release or order of, you know, timeline order? It's just like, I'm just like, order of release is just fine. But this is sometime after Falcon and Winter Soldier, because during the double-decker bus fight scene, they had the Global Reparation Council on the bus, which kind of gives us the idea that we're in 2023. according to the blip timeline. So it's after the snap, after everything's back. And
even Backstreet's back?
Yeah, Backstreet's back. All right. They're on the reunion tour because three of the five members actually came back after the blip.
Oh, perfect. After perfect. The blip.
They, after the Avengers saved the world, three of them showed up on stage.
On stage.
And it was during a rodeo at that time.
Perfect.
So, you know, because you always wonder, like, how much they're going to reference the MCU in general here, because there has been nothing that connects this to anything at this point. This is free form, freestanding, and I think that's probably the best thing, because I feel, as a fan and as a reviewer of this, if somebody was to come to me at this point and go, what do I need to know to go into this?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. But that's a good thing, though, because there's so fucking much they've done in the cinematic universe that, like, even when friends ask me, they're like, hey, where should I start? I go, just look it up online. It's too much to fucking explain.
Yeah. I mean, there comes a point when, I mean, we even see that in comics where they basically have learned that in order to get a new audience, sometimes you just have to press reset and just start with a blank slate.
Yeah, well, it's not even like a reset. It's just like,
it's different.
Yeah.
I watch comedies, you watch dramas. We don't need to all be the same. Let's just, you know, move on and let's see if we can get a different audience that can might cross over.
Well, and that's the thing, is that there's so much, and yeah, you can sit there and say, hey, you can watch in this order or that order. But then it's just like, just go watch them.
Just go watch them.
Just fucking watch them.
Because if at all any, I think, if they make any allusions to any big connection in the MCU, it's going to come in the end, because that would be the smartest thing to do.
Because there have been some rumors out there that,
oh no,
with Wanda, well, just with Wanda in general, you know, in her multiple personalities and everything that's going on.
At least it's not like the Wanda, where it's like, oh, Doctor Strange will make an appearance at the end.
Wanda Maximoff returns in Moon Knight as
are we going to get those type of rumors?
Scarlet Bitch.
Yeah.
Do you think we'll get
her alter ego?
Yeah, alter ego. She's always on the rag.
Okay. All right, Bobby. Just for fun, I'm going to call it right now. All right. And Saba Nur is going to show up in the very end, and that's how we'll get the X-Men. X-Men in there. Because they keep talking about Egyptian gods.
But I can see that. But also, too, we're already going to get an allusion to the X-Men in Doctor Strange.
Yeah. No, I'm going to go Mr. Fantastic showing up.
You're going to go Mr. Fantastic?
Yeah, okay. Mr. Fantastic showing up.
I'm going Apocalypse.
I'm going Blade.
at least Blade kind of almost fits in.
If all three of us are going to bounce around and put out guesses there, I'm going to go for fucking Blade.
Go for it. No, that's why I said I had fun the times that me and Bobby have covered MCU, and basically said, who do you think is going to show up in the end? Because that's what it comes down to.
Everybody's looking for that big shocking moment, and every show has had it one way or the other. But I don't think we need that here. I think because you are
Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man shows up and kills Moon Knight.
McGuire shows up out of nowhere.
If I do this, he said he'd bring back Aunt May. And then it's really Apocalypse. No, fuck that. I'm going to scrap Apocalypse. It's going to be Mr. Sinister.
There you go.
And he's going to show up. He's like, thanks, Peter. I lied.
Surprised nobody's thrown out Mephisto yet, since that was the answer for everything.
Who knows at this
point? Oh, dude. Dude, don't go there. Don't go down that well.
And then, he shows up, but then Nicolas Cage shows up
as Ghost Rider.
Yes.
But although, Bobby, did you read one of the rumors this past week about like these two episodes? Mr. Fantastic's not far off, because a lot of people are like saying, like, we're gonna get Doctor Doom, because they keep going to that Eastern European country. And everyone's like saying, oh, they're in Latveria.
The same Dr. Doom that they were, you know, with Wanda and everything else. So
exactly.
Again, with a billion years of comics and a million trillion different books that have been written over that time period, we could probably make a connection to anything. Like, you know, it's just the way it goes. But I honestly
Moon Knight's the reason Kitty Pryde died. I don't fucking know. He's the reason that Colossus had to fucking take one for the team.
you don't know.
Fucking like, which Marvel timeline are we gonna go with here? The new one? Or are we gonna go back with one that they said is gone?
Yeah, we're gonna.
Are we gonna Age of Apocalypse this shit?
We're like, gonna. Yes, it's Beast will show up. He'll
Beast
be the next
will show up.
Animal he'll fight. They won't be a jackal.
Right. He just gets summoned. He's like, what am I doing here? This is weird. This is science can't explain this. I'm Chelsea Grant. I don't know why I fucking forgot his name there for a second. I was gonna say Chelsea Handler. I had a sex change. Cheers.
I thought you were gonna say Kelsey Grammer.
That's who it was. Fuck. God. I could see his face without the fucking blue mate, like with like. What? I can fucking see his face. I'm like, God damn it.
Yeah, sitting on the couch and Cheers.
Jesus.
But, like I said, I feel like the way we're going, this could stand alone and be its own kind of break off from that MCU. I don't think we need everything to tie in together. I just think they needed to do a better job than they did with the Defenders. Because everything, like, Greg, for me and David have been talking, it's like almost everything that they've been doing so far was setting up for West Coast Avengers. This is the only one that I don't feel fits into that category. So it's almost like, are we breaking off to something else? Is this is how we get to a completely different fan base inside of Marvel that we haven't seen before? And even though that they're doing all that, they're doing it all at like high quality, because I found myself going, wow, like they really hit with the music this week for like to create that tension and things that were going on. I was like, okay, like they're spending the time, they're doing the things, they're making the shots, because we talked a little bit of, you know, about the scene earlier in the storage facility, and I kept wondering, and this was just my thought at the beginning and it changed completely towards the end, was, you know, when we start doing those old like Alfred Hitchcock horror tricks, I'm like, what is their budget like? Because all we're doing is slamming doors and flicking lights at this point.
But see, I liked that though.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not complaining.
And I thought that was cool. But what I also liked too was showing that Mark was hiding out.
Yes.
That before he became Steven,
he had his own HQ.
Yeah, he was living in a little storage facility with a cot. I think there was a makeshift shower in there. Yeah.
Yes.
But like, I like that they show the two different personalities.
Yeah, but that scene when he's running, when we get through it was beautiful to look at, and it was like so nice to see like a simplistic thing done that is
done
like,
really well.
Yes, and time proven. Like there's no reason that, you know, people need to go special effects fucking crazy.
Oh yeah,
you can create those things with fucking mirror shots and slamming doors and shutting off lights, because they've been doing it since Hitchcock.
And I'll be the one thing I will absolutely say, within two episodes of a series, this one is probably the most, for me, the most cinematically beautiful, because like some of the shots they have been doing just get me so giddy, because they're doing so many like, you know, creative. There's some creative eye there.
It feels for those that read Moon Knight, it feels like a Moon Knight. It feels like Moon Knight.
Feels like Moon Knight. Like,
especially when Mark takes over. And what I fucking loved is when Mark took over was that his suit came out.
Yes.
And then when he sat there and he basically he impaled the jackal on whatever the fuck that was, like that stage or whatever, that stage prop or whatever it was. Like where he comes down, he's holding, he just slams it.
Yeah.
Like that was like, I could see that in like Charlie Huston's.
Oh, absolutely.
Moon Knight run. And the pacing of the show in general is slow, but it's done for a reason.
Deliberately slow. It's not boring slow.
Yeah, it's not slow. Like, hey, we're going to take our time and da, da, da. They do, but they give you they give you enough to be like, okay, like, you know, first episode, they give people enough who don't know the character to be like, okay, I really want to know more. But they come back for the second episode.
Yes.
And then the second episode, they give you everything going, here's all this. And then the end of this episode, like, it's almost like when you watch,
it's almost like watching Lord of the Rings and it's like the end of the movie. Like, you know, something epic is happening in the next film.
Yeah.
And just like, spoiler alert. And if you haven't watched the episode yet, I don't know why you're listening to this review already. Unless you just like hearing us talk.
Yes. Love that ginger voice.
Shut up. God damn it.
This is so aggressive.
You should listen to Otaku Force. Also, everybody listen, you should listen to Otaku Force. Cheap pop.
Yeah. Hey, look, plug away. Circle of Jerks. Patreon.com.
Dave, do you want to list your bevy of shows that you do?
Let's see. We got the holodeck.
So David does a lot on the network, everybody. That's why I said that. But at the end, when he's in that fucking hotel, and then he opens the window and you just see the three fucking pyramids.
The pyramids. That scene was really... And you're just
like, oh. And I was like, oh, fuck, some shit is going to happen next fucking episode.
Well, the beautiful thing about... just like what you're alluding to, Greg, about like the pacing, even though it was slow, they chose really great moments to just start ramping up the tension. Well, and they just had this weird perfection, this episode of actually, hey, we're going to add more scare factor.
I don't want to say perfection, because then that means there's no room for improvement. Where I think in this episode, they hit their marks really well. And they hit their pacing. So you have the parts where there's the story. You have the parts where Steven and what is Ethan Hawke's character's name? Harrow. I want to say Harlow for some reason, but Harrow, and they're talking, and Harrow's like, oh, I was Khonshu's last avatar. And you're like,
you don't have to listen to him.
You know, and you're just like, wait, what?
Yeah, that was creepy.
And you have that, and he's like, what is he sitting there saying? I am justice. And you're like, okay, like, and then you're watching, you're like, I want to know about history of Khonshu and Harrow now.
Well, that, yes. And the quote, when they're going back and forth, he's like, did they choose you because your mind was going to be easy to break or because it was already broken? I was like, oh shit.
But that's where I love the pacing of the show, is because they give you that stuff where you're like, oh shit. Like Harrow, like, you're like wondering how powerful is Harrow that he not only was the avatar of Khonshu, but now he's the avatar of Amit. But now you're like, fuck, like what else can he do?
I've always stated on any of the shows, especially superhero shows that I've covered, is that if the villain is good, you can actually understand where he's coming from. And in this episode, I was like, you know what?
I can understand Harrow.
I can kind of understand.
It goes on that line of like, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, and like Harrow's whole point. Yeah, it is very, you know, honorable. Hey, I just want to stop people before they commit their great atrocity.
Also remember the lesson we learn in the late 90s, early 2000s Tom Cruise classic.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Minority Report is that you can't judge somebody off something that hasn't happened yet.
Well, that's why
with Harrow's character though, his intention is noble, but then you're like, but then Steven said, how can you judge somebody when they haven't done anything yet? And there's the crack in Harrow's logic. Is he's like, well, I'm stopping them before they do it because they have evil intentions. And then Steve goes, well, I want to kill my boss, but I'm not going to fucking do it. Like, everybody thinks shit like that. Like, so you're going to judge everybody based on that? And I know I mentioned Minority Report, and I mean, they're not even in the same fucking league. But it's that same thing where it's like, oh, a crime is about to be committed. So in that respect, the crime's about to be committed, whereas with Harrow, it's just a thought at this point.
It's one of those things to be like, Bobby, we're going to kill you. You thought about grabbing that girl's boobs. I'm like, her boobs were nice. Why wouldn't I think about grabbing them? Not that I'm actually grabbing them. I'm just thinking about grabbing them.
Sorry, like, you've been canceled.
If I was in Steven's shoes and I was in there saying that, I've like me being an asshole, I'd been like, oh, you want to punish people before they've committed a crime or you know, committed a sin? How Christian of you. And then, you know, then I get crucified, you know, but I'm ting.
But that's why I like, they also added the element that basically Mark is that person that's already committed all these great atrocities. Yeah. So that's why I love the kind of the quandary that Steven's in is like, he knows Mark has done a lot of bad things. There's been a lot of blood on his hands, as he put it, but now it's on Steven's hands.
Yeah. But also too, in the respect that he's like, you know, you've spilled blood and it's blood on my hands. It's your hands, your guys' hands. It's not when he takes over, it's completely different. And then you take over and it's completely different. Yeah, you're different personalities, but you're in the same body. So no matter who's in control, the blood is already on the hands of the body. But what I like with Steven and Mark, though, and especially at the end when Mark is in Egypt, is that he's sitting there drinking and you see the broken mirror. And so they've already alluded to that Mark and Steven are now fighting and vying for control, which I think the way they introduced it at the end was perfect, because that itself is if not a whole episode, at least half of an episode.
Well, especially that discussion between Mark and Steven, where Steven asked him, is this what it feels like being, and basically Mark tells him, yeah, you're basically just watching. You're stuck there.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that they now built like this conflict within essentially this one individual,
yeah,
that is very relatable.
Well, and that's the thing is that you know, and for some reason, like right now, I just thought of the line from The Mask with what's his name, where he's like, we all wear masks, metaphorically speaking. And I'm just sitting there and I'm just like, I'm thinking, fuck, like shit that we watch in the 90s, like, fuck, it's coming back. Like, that makes sense. But in the same respect, it's like, you know, people are like, well, when you're watching, you're like, well, who am I getting? Am I getting Mark? Am I getting Steven? When you watch it, it's easy to know which one you're getting. You just have to listen for the accent. But like you said, David, I like that they have this conflict within one person and it's relatable because everybody kind of has that. Not everybody has multiple, you know, personalities or identities that are trying to fight for control. But the best example I can think of is imposter syndrome. Is you want to be somebody that everybody likes so bad that you're willing, that you're going to sacrifice who you are
just to, you know, be that person.
In, like who you are in private to be that person that everybody's like, oh, I like that guy. That guy's fun. Or that guy's, you know,
so
this or that.
Like the way I explain what we do on the air is I have always told people, and they're like, well, you're not like that when you're out in the wild, let's say. Yes. And I'm like, no, I'm not. But I take the smallest piece of my personality and I blow it up.
Yes.
To be somebody that people want to listen to on the radio.
Exactly.
Because nobody wants to, no matter how shitty my day is, nobody wants to hear me come in and go, we're covering Moon Knight this week. And yeah, I watched it, but no. I cried through a lot because there's some things going on at my house that I really don't want to talk about right now. David, what did you think about the episode?
I'm going to go into it now. Look, guys, but that's the thing is that, and that's like, you know, like you said, all of us in here, like this is just like, this is us playing a, I don't want to say glorified, but like
a version
of who we are. Like, I'm not like everybody probably listens going like every time I yell at David or I get, you know, in past episode, you know, of Taco Force, even Rain Man, like
we're not actually like that out.
No,
out
I'm not. I'm not walking around being like, I'm going to fucking fight somebody.
I said large fries. I'm going to kill you, motherfucker.
Is that, did you spit on my burger? Yeah. Come here, motherfucker. Like, it's not me. That's, you know,
I want a liter of cola.
Do we sell a liter of cola? Do we sell a liter of cola?
That's why
Cola's French. Forgive me, fucking Coke.
That's why I'm going to be really interested because we got 6 episodes to go, right?
4.
We got 4.
Oh yeah, that's right. It's 4.
It's only 6.
It's only,
yeah,
a 6 series.
That's why I said next week is mid season.
But right, like,
Jesus.
The thing I'm wondering and I'm hoping that they cover is like, who really is the real personality? Is it Mark? Is it Steven?
Well,
is it that? And that's when you really get the really great basic storylines of Moon Knight.
Well, okay, so as a person who has no clue what the fuck's going on other than these 2 episodes, I'm like, who is Mom?
Who is he? That we're going to find out.
Yes.
Okay, so that is a comic book thing?
It is, but I'm kind of not sure. I'm not going to give it a 100%.
Okay, no, I don't expect spoilers. But in my head, like, while we know that there's multiple personalities, like, he keeps calling this mother and leaving voicemails. And you're just like, what is this?
And Layla, if you notice, Layla was confused. What do you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, when he said, like, you're talking to your mom again. And he's like, yeah. She's like, huh? But that's what I liked. But I liked when they brought Layla in, was that she's that connection to Mark's past. But also she's confused as to why is he talking in this accent?
Or why is this Steven?
And I don't think she fully grasps what's happening.
Well, she didn't fully grasp it till like toward the end.
Yeah, but I think she understood when Steven became Mr. Knight.
Yes.
But I also think she fully, I think she also realized how grave everything was when Haro got the scarab.
Yes.
But now it's like, okay, what part is she going to play? Because now she's nowhere near Mark or, you know, Mark/Steven now. So what is going to happen with her? Is she going to come back in the next episode or is she going to come back in a later? I say later episode, there's four left. So she's either coming back in three, four, five or six.
I think she is because like Khonshu made the statement that basically, you know, I could choose a different avatar. And he alluded to the fact that he was going to choose Layla.
Well, even Mark said that he's like, I'm not going to let him do that.
Yeah.
So even Steven knows that Khonshu. I'm saying even Steven knows that Khonshu wants Layla.
Yes.
So both now, and the thing is that Steven has feelings for Layla. You could like when they met and he said like, I wouldn't divorce you. Like what? No. Like, so it's either a little bit of that, like a little bit of Mark memories are leaking into Steven. So he's like, I wouldn't do that. Like,
well, also what I'm wondering is if like, Steven is that part of Mark's, and we're saying that Mark is the quote unquote primary, but like Steven is the part of Mark's personality that is all subdued. It's the guy, it's the thing that he holds back, whether it's like his regal feelings about his wife. You know, it's obvious that Mark wants to protect Layla, but he doesn't show his feelings properly to her. So
hence Steven.
And that's why Steven isn't as strong as Mark. He's weak-willed. He's feeble. And probably that's Mark's psyche
holding it back. Or it's whatever he has done mentally in place that is holding that back holding that part of Steven back.
Yeah. And I know that basically some audience members are like their heads are spinning about this, but this is what happens when you do certain storylines like this dealing with characters who are broken and you want to tell a serious story about it and not like turn it into Deadpool.
Yeah.
Because that was the dangerous part when I saw Mr. Knight, because they almost kind of start going that comedic route and tried to actually turn Mr. Knight more like that jokey, you know.
I honestly was thinking the thing. I was like, is this like, are we getting Comic-Con Deadpools here?
Comic-Con Deadpools, yeah.
You know, with the different Moon Knights.
Con's coming in fucking May. God damn it.
Yeah, there's going to be so many Moon Knights, dude.
Oh, I'm fine with Moon Knights. The Deadpools is what I don't want to fucking do.
And you'll have people basically say, look, I'm Deadpool with Moon Knight.
I'm Moonpool. No, you're not.
I'm COVID Deadpool.
I'm COVID Deadpool.
But I think what is going on right now, I could almost care less if there was a true villain, because I'd be interested in watching the puzzle unfold of what is Moon Knight.
Because
I even think Haro is definitely a villain character, but a part of me is like saying he's not the big bad.
But I don't think he's, so my thinking is that he'll deal with Haro. It's either going to go the rest of the season or it's going to go over the next two episodes. And then the last two are going to be kind of the setup for the next season. I'm guessing here, but I kind of understand where you're going with Dave, is that Haro is a villain, but Is he the villain?
Is he the villain
of the series?
So what I've found out, like reading reviews, is something major is going to happen in 5 and 6.
Yes.
Only because Disney only released the first four for to review to the mass, like, you know, Variety and all those, the major players.
All the goofy shits that don't understand comic books?
Yes. Do you know, because when I was reading, like, going into the first episode, again, I just try to get a feel of what the public is kind of looking at, and that way we can discuss it and see if we see it that way. You know, it's shit I do for shows. And it was just like, after the first four episodes, I'm like, wait, how many did they released one,
right? And you're just like, what? Where the fuck are the 3 and 4?
Well, yeah, it's like, don't tell me what's like how the first four episodes go, because that's not going to help anybody that's actually watching the show. It's like, I want to know how one is doing. I want to know how two is doing. Like,
that's what happens in four
could make one better. I've always said that if we were to do retro reviews on things, that things that happen in episode one might not have made sense, but by episode 4 or 5, they're like, that's fucking excellent.
Yeah.
So,
and that's the thing also, Bobby, I've noticed is like reviewers, I don't know. It's a lost art form, I guess, because like they do not know how to hold back. I found out the same thing. They released 4 episodes to reviewers,
but that's,
and everyone's reviews that were professional were based on 4, all 4, not like, As you said, Bobby, not 1 episode to 2 episode to 3 episode to 4. Everyone based it on the whole thing. And I was like going, well, great. That kind of spoils certain things.
But
now,
again, like I said, just because, you know, we've all been covering television shows and movies and shit on this network for years. We know that if they didn't release 5 to those people, something major happens in 5 that's going to be fucking amazing. Well,
yeah, so that means 5 and 6 are going to be
something
big, and that's going to lead into the next
an introduction
season
of
and the next whatever big thing that Marvel is.
That's where Blade will come in.
Yeah, it's going to be
Fantastic Four.
It's going to be an introduction of one of the 1,000 characters.
Of the 1,000 characters.
You know, or it's going to open up another universe or something like that that we just haven't seen before. And that's why they're not putting it out there, because they don't want, you know, Joe Schmo telling his friend who's not supposed to tell anybody, who will go to some subreddit and put it out there, and then it'll gain traction and everybody will know.
I was sent all 6 episodes of Moon Knight, and I will tell you, in episode 6, there at the very end, if you pause it at scene 36, frame 75, and zoom into the back right corner, you will see the outline of Apocalypse.
There you go. You heard it here first.
Okay. All right. We're going to come back to that when we cover the final episode.
You're going
to
sit there and look. Okay. All right. Fine.
Great, Greg. Thank you.
I have like his innate psychic ability to predict shit.
To predict shit.
Does it work for me in any other favor? Just sit here
I don't think any of our...
I'm not picking lottery numbers. Yeah. I'm not picking anything that can actually advance me.
Bobby, has any of our predictions ever come true?
Yes. Mine do all the time.
mine do for wrestling, apparently, but only
when only it comes in wrestling to,
but it's only in wrestling. But it's only when people debut. As far as like, I mean, WWE, I'm pretty good at picking who's gonna win a match.
I think a blind man
at this point, any like fucking you know, Mike's dogs could pick
Stevie Wonder could probably
and he wouldn't even see it coming.
He could hear the 3 count though.
Yep. And it's very superstitious.
But it actually just dawned on me about it. I don't think any of our, in all reality, all the shit that me and you have talked about has come true.
I've had stuff come true.
Really? Which ones?
I don't remember, but the writing's on the wall.
I was looking for you to work that in when I said it's very superstitious, but fucking Pops brought it in the end.
Professional. All right. We got anything else to discuss on this, or do we want to get to our final thoughts?
We can get our final thoughts.
All right. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with them final thoughts.
Free stuff is awesome, but free stuff that will spice up your bedroom is even better. Just go to adamandeve.com and select almost any one item for 50% off, and then we'll load on the free stuff. Just enter this very exclusive code, RAINMAN, at checkout, and you'll get 10 tantalizing free gifts, including a sexy item for him, a special toy for her,
ooh,
and a third item you'll both enjoy.
Ooh.
And 6 extra special bonus items that are sure to rev your engine, pique your curiosity, and even blow you away. Plus,
free shipping!
Always sent in discreet packaging. Go to adamandeve.com now. Get 50% off plus the 10 free gifts when you enter the exclusive offer code RAINMAN. Again, that's RAINMAN. Because without it,
no free stuff.
That's RAINMAN at adamandeve.com.
All right, we are back. Remember, go to our Patreon, patreon.com/RainManDigital. Go pledge $1 and we'll make more Stevie Wonder jokes. Pledge 10, we will actually book Stevie Wonder to be on the show if he's available.
I don't think he ever sees what his schedule looks like.
Fucking status for that one? Am I blind? He doesn't see his schedule.
No. We'll just add the drum beat to that one.
Oh, thanks.
I was trying to think of a Braille joke real quick, but it didn't come up.
What do you want me to do? Go waka waka?
That stinks.
It stinks. Buy my book.
Greg, I'll let you go first this week.
I thought this was a great step up from episode one, not saying episode one wasn't good, but they definitely brought more this episode that brings more for people who haven't seen it. And then those of us that are fans, it gives us a little bit more of the character that we like. I'm excited to see where the rest of the season goes. Hope it keeps going up. The way this episode ended, it's going that route. And just by what we've mentioned about the reviewers who've seen 4 episodes, I feel like 5 and 6 are going to be real bangers. So for me, this episode went up from last week's episode. And for me, it was an 85.
Cool. David?
It's definitely, I 100% agree with you, Greg. I mean, like this episode helped set the table better than episode one. Episode one was kind of like a tantalizing of everything. They didn't fully dive in into the Moon Knight. They wanted to actually just, it's almost like an appetizer.
It was like a charcuterie
bowl. But like episode two, I like the fact that they set up pretty much everything. We know what's at stake. We know the players are who the players are. They explained more about the dynamic of Steven and Mark. The whole personality thing is less muddled than in the first episode. So I'm actually fully enjoying this episode up to a 90. So it's kind of like a split between my fan from last episode and the critic, because
merge, we get Captain Planet.
There we go. So
with your powers combined, I'm Ed Sherman, the critic.
Sherman. Oh, Jesus. Yeah. How many people do you think actually know what the critic is?
Outside the three of us?
Yes.
Not a lot. Not even John Lovitz will admit that he was the critic.
Greg, I'm on the same route with you. I'm giving it an 85. This, like I joked about it last week, that I thought that they probably should have released 2 episodes in a row. They probably should have released 2 episodes in a row, because this made episode one seem that much better. And I feel like I understand what's going on with the show. We talked a lot about the pacing and some of the effects and everything that they are doing to actually make it beautiful. While they tell this story, I believe in our heroes. I believe in our villains. I believe in everything that is happening right now. So it went up a lot for me this week. I give it an 85, which will give us an 86.66666 infinity.
The number of the beast.
Yes. Which he will show up in episode 5.
Oh my. Okay. If the beast truly shows up in 5 and 6, he fucking has to have Iron Maiden as his herald.
That would be hilarious.
Like, just Bruce Dickinson and all them just, like, show up in Egypt, and they're playing fucking Number of the Beast, and then all of a sudden the beast shows up, and that's the fucking final battle.
There you go. Here first. Breaking news. Raymond.
Iron Maiden is now part of the MCU.
Yes. The one thing that they've purchased from Fox was Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
There you go.
Just a little known asset that we didn't know about.
Right.
Yeah, so we will be back next week. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you.
And remember, you can catch any past future episodes. Go to RaymanDigitalMedia.com. Find all of us talking shit all the time.
Bye-bye.
What?
Okay, shut up. Shut the fuck up!